You are listening to the Load Management Podcast. Why? I don't know.
What up, everybody? It's your man Chops, brand new episode of the Load Management Podcast, the only complex sports podcast. Back with my good buddies, Adam Caparel and Zion, for another episode, another fun episode on deck here, guys. What's going on?
Rough weekend. Very rough.
We'll get to the sports weekend in a second, but we have to say we do have Kevin Garnett on this episode coming up. Very good interview, so stay tuned for that. But yes, Zion, I think we do need to talk about this sports weekend. Zion, as a Giants fan, and Adam, do you want to talk about the Jets, or should we just ignore their existence? Like,
why would you want to talk about the fucking Jets? Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about more.
A 55-yard run on 3rd and 31.
Yeah. They gave up an 80-yard run on the first play from scrimmage. I mean, they're a goddamn disaster. So let's keep it moving. Talk about your disaster known as the New York Giants.
We're not a disaster.
You ain't that far from it, pal.
We're not a disaster. We've had some bad, very unlucky. Yesterday, we almost won yesterday. We should have won.
That's more an indictment on some personnel over there in Chicago than it is a proclamation on the Giants. But go ahead.
I mean, you know, it was not. We're not the Jets. We're not bad like the Jets. We're just struggling. It's a struggle.
I turned on New York radio today, and they were having a debate about which New York team is going to get Trevor Lawrence. So that's where the state of New York sports is today.
Listen, the only reason why we're going to struggle is because our schedule is hell. Like, our first five games are hell. Like, we got the Steelers, the Bears. Now we got the 49ers. We're going to get the Cowboys. And we got the Rams.
Can we talk about? You're saying you had a tough day. Nobody had a tougher day yesterday than Atlanta Falcons fans. Imagine being an Atlanta Falcons fan. That
can't be me.
Did they think you couldn't pick up an onside kick before it went 10 yards on the receiving team?
That was incredible.
Why were
ridiculous.
They just looking at
incredibly
it? I've
ridiculous.
Never seen anything.
For but one, also, real quick, Chops, can we tell any lunatic that's saying this is a worse loss than the Super Bowl? Needs to be.
Who put said into that?
Jail. I've seen people on the internet and some people proclaiming it. This on the debate shows.
Charles Barkley said it.
No, that's they're crazy.
Exactly.
Chuck probably lost like 30 grand on the game. That's why he's saying
probably
that.
Probably accurate. But yes, if you're proclaiming this loss is worse than the Super Bowl, you are a raging lunatic.
No, but great onside kick. And I just can't believe they didn't touch the ball. Like, just pick it up. It's right there.
They know the rules.
They were treating it like, you know, in baseball when you hit a foul ball and or like when you hit it down the line and you wait to see if it goes foul before touching it. They literally did that, but like just pick up the ball.
But when you have five guys around the ball like that, like the only explanation for me, and I didn't hear the talk afterwards of the guys from the hands team. I mean, Julio was out there and some other Falcons, but you literally have to not know the rule. To not go after that football. You have to it's like you have to wait 10 yards the same way as the kicking team, which is not the case. You can pick that ball up, run into the end zone all you want. Like, it was stupefying. That was one of the dumbest plays in NFL, like, regular season history. That was stupefying how idiotic it was.
But you know who's not getting enough slander? Julio Jones. This man dropped a wide open touchdown.
He did not have a good
like,
day.
Like, come on,
that
bro.
Game was so weird that Julio Jones dropped a touchdown pass thrown by another wide receiver who threw a dime. I don't know who threw it. Wasn't Calvin Ridley. I don't know who threw the touchdown or threw the pass. Threw a dime and Julio just dropped it. Here's my thing. Montrezl Harrell, read the room, buddy. If you don't follow Montrez on Twitter, he was talking about how much it sucks to be a Falcons fan and like letting people down. Like, bro, read the room. You're coming off a 3-1 lead. So yeah, buddy. Nuggets fans also had a bad night. AD with just an incredible shot. Adam, didn't you say the Nuggets were going to win that series?
No. Yeah. Once again, putting words into my mouth. It never ceases to fail. Every single episode, you two clowns keep putting inaccurate statements. Into my mouth, and that is just not the fucking case. I never said the Nuggets are winning the series.
You're rooting for the Nuggets.
Of course, I'm rooting for them. It ain't gonna happen, but I'm rooting for them.
I don't hate LeBron James.
LeBron's an awesome role model. He's incredible to watch. The reason I'm rooting for the Nuggets is because you two will be insufferable for the next two goddamn weeks, along with the annoying Lakers fans and the rest of the NBA Twitter and social media. It's gonna be nonstop terrible. LeBron. And LeBron should be celebrated. He's a phenom. Mount Rushmore, one of the greatest players of all time. but I'm a little LeBroned out right now.
Okay,
little
LeBroned out.
You're just the worst. But anyway, he tried, Chops. You tried to come for Adam, but don't think I forgot. I said Lakers sweep. But don't think I forgot the text that you've been sending all playoffs. AD, I don't think AD's built for this.
I said, I don't know if AD's built for this.
I need to reverse course because AD is built. You can't call him out
for that. That's legitimate to bring that up.
No, that was game. Adam, that was after game one of the playoffs when AD had a terrible game.
Yeah, that's legitimate to bring up. We're not sure if he's built for a deep run of the playoffs in this pressure pack situation.
That's not. You can't do it after one game. I told him
Zion,
it's a long playoff.
Zion, I said the Browns should trade Odell last week and he pulled out on Thursday. I go off the cuff, my man. That's what we do. This is Take City, and I'm going to get my takes off.
Can we go back to Odell? Do you now want him on the franchise?
Yeah, no, don't trade him for shit. We're going to the playoffs, okay, so baby. We're back.
That's one hell of a 180. Jesus Christ, pal.
We're going to the playoffs. Have you seen? I feel bad for anybody who got hurt yesterday. I feel bad. If the Browns don't make the playoffs, I'll tear my own ACL. Put
that
on record.
Going to the playoffs, so you can tear your ACL right now.
They're good. No, if they don't, they're making the playoffs for sure. We play Washington this week, win. We play the Cowboys after that, win. Colts after that, win. That's 4-1.
Listen,
you're making it sound like you destroyed the Bengals on Thursday night.
That wasn't even close. The score, they scored the late garbage.
They got a backdoor. They get back.
They got a backdoor,
but that
not
game wasn't. That wasn't a blowout, pal.
It
that
was
wasn't
not
domination.
A blowout. If you didn't score the last possession, you were in trouble.
What game were you?
Zion saying if you didn't score, they ran it 10 times and they picked up. They got a touchdown easily. Easiest drive I've ever seen.
But if you didn't score that drive, Joe Burrow is going to tie the game.
Whatever. Blowout in my
revisionist
mind.
History as usual from this guy.
Before we get to the injuries, I want to say this man. I told this man last week before he published. Check it out on the site. He published a piece on saying Odell should get traded.
No, I said, but here's what nobody read about the piece. In the piece, I literally said, "Yo, Baker's fucking playing trash right now. Save yourself," type thing. I should have said Odell should request a trade rather than they should trade Odell. That's what I should have changed. That's the only
also regret. What you wrote in there is Baker and Odell's chemistry is bad. That's what you said.
It was good Thursday, but I haven't seen it be good ever.
It's not an accurate statement, pal. That's been the case.
But it's like you can't just jump I told you can't jump the gun on week one, especially with no preseason. You cannot jump the gun.
It's NFL. The guns are jumped. Philly fans, I'm getting ready to publish. I want to publish Carson Wentz should be bench takes. I'm looking for him.
For Jalen Hurts.
If you're a Philly fan, hit me up on Twitter.
For Jalen Hurts.
Josh McCown's on the team, isn't he?
Oh, my. But quickly going to the injuries.
Before we get to the injuries, I want to congratulate Bryson DeChambeau, pod guest in the past. We had him on last month. Won the U.S. Open over the weekend. Congratulations to him. For that. If you come on the pod, good things happen to you unless you're Austin Rivers.
Yeah, okay, but he got cut. He got cut from the last one he was in.
Those were little tournaments. He won like the second biggest tournament.
Wasn't a little tournament, but wasn't as consequential as this past weekend.
Okay, it was
salute to Bryson.
He won the second biggest tournament in golf.
Depending on how you want to weigh it, yeah.
The U.S. Open's the second biggest tournament in golf.
Let's get to the injuries. Obviously, we know the Masters is the big one. But
it's the most popular one.
Getting to the injury point, this is not a coincidence. Like
you texted me that, and I think I know what you're gonna say, and I'm gonna refute it. So go.
It's not a coincidence. You didn't have a real preseason, you didn't have a real training camp, and the bodies are not ready to play football.
So I would agree with you if these were all hamstring soft tissue injuries. ACLs happen every year, man. There's nothing the body can get ready for an ACL to happen. Like that just happens. You know, like ACLs are like Saquon, he could have played 4 preseason games and his knee still could have turned the wrong way.
It's not even the preseason games. It's the your body getting ready for the season. They haven't had a full training camp,
I'm not a doctor, but does that play in? I think it plays into the ACL.
Because the ACL is like it happens off of wear and tear. That's why D Rose had it multiple times. Like it's not like it just.
I know once you have it, you're more likely to have it again. My thing is like Nick Bosa got rolled up on. That was just a freak accident, you know. Drew Lock got drilled and fell on his shoulder. Cortland, like the knees thing is like here's my other point to it. If we had a preseason, there's like usually a lot of injuries in preseason where like, oh shit, guys are out for the season, you know? So it's like we're just now seeing it all in the actual season, which is different, which I will credit. Like, yeah, that's different that we're all seeing in the season because no one was out for the preseason.
I just don't think we've ever seen this before. Like, this amount of injuries, like even CMC's out a couple weeks.
Like, but that's an ankle. Like, he twisted an ankle. That could happen anytime. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like guys fall on ankle, you know?
I think the pain tolerance is higher when your body is under a couple months of a preseason and the training camp and OTAs. I don't know. I think this is bad. It's very bad.
I just don't, if it was all hamstring injuries and soft tissue, I'd agree with you. I think it was just a freak day in the NFL. Adam, I don't know. What do you think?
I think Zion's statement was complete fallacy and bullshit. So I would not listen to a goddamn.
Listen, just Adam never played football. So, you know, he doesn't understand.
Who are you?
Darrell Revis talking to Mike Francesa? I'm just saying. Fall the fuck back. No, I'm just saying. Your assertion that like you're less prone to injuries because you've been playing for 2 or 3 months is stupid.
But they haven't been playing for 2 or 3 months. They haven't. It's been all like right. it's
to quickly,
1 month.
The answer chops is, and obviously you're clowning on you. I'm joking around, but like, listen, there's a lot of freak shit that goes on. I feel like every single year you get these rash of like injuries just because they're more high profile guys. People are freaking out and going
a lot
crazy.
Of high profile guys.
So that's why it seems more.
I will
like
say,
sour this year than previous years. But what are you guys doing? There's been plenty of soft tissue injuries though, chops. I mean, look across the board. I mean, Christ, the entire fucking Jets, skill position players are all out with soft tissue injuries. So I think there is
that is true.
The lack of preseason. So it's a mix. Back, but I think the reason that everyone's freaking out is because you have like 9 million guys who are like high level fantasy football picks are out right now, and that's why people are going crazy.
What's up with the MetLife turf? San Francisco might boycott this game on Sunday because they have to go back and play.
Here's the lunacy of storyline between Shanahan and the rest of the 49ers players. What were there any issues when the Steelers and Giants played on Monday night? 6 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. It's all freak. Yeah. Like the Nick Bosa one is going to happen anywhere. He literally got rolled up on just freak play. It that had nothing to do with the turf. Jimmy G, high ankle sprain. Like you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But I don't know if it's like some big coincidence. I think it was just a bad day. And like Adam said, literally the two guys who went number one and number two in fantasy football, Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, got majorly injured yesterday. So
you had
like,
two of the top running backs and one of the top defensive linemen in the game that everyone's familiar with. So yeah, it's like it exacerbates the situation that happens every single year. So I wouldn't freak out about it.
Even last week, Michael Thomas, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
An ankle again.
Yeah, an ankle, nothing crazy. And listen, ACL's like it's a freak injury. I'm not a doctor. I can't really tell you if it's definitely wear and tear, but for the most part, those generally tend to be freak injuries. Although, if you do tear your ACL, as Chop said correctly, you're more prone to tear it again for various reasons. But just freak shit happened. It sucks that these guys are going down. Hopefully, McCaffrey's back in a few weeks. These other guys are going to be gone for the year. It's going to suck to miss Barkley and Bosa if he does have a torn ACL. But freak shit happened early on in the NFL
before
season.
We got KG coming up. Really good interview with Kevin Garnett. I asked Zion this over the weekend. I want to see if you change your mind on it. Is Saquon Barkley done with the Giants? Fifth-year option, they got to decide on it after this season. He's played basically 1 out of 3 seasons in his career.
Yeah, you can't pay him. I don't think so. You can't pay him. Like you can't. It's just like, especially with the way running backs are getting, it's sad. It's really sad for Saquon because especially the way with the running backs were getting paid, he was about to get a bag, but you played one season, bro. And the running back position is already like in question. So I can't do it. I hope he stays. I hope we could get him for less, but you can't give him big money.
My thing is anybody going to pay him? How can you pay him big money? Like, I love Saquon, and I wish him nothing the best. This sucks. How could anybody pay him good big money right now, you know?
Like, it's even different from Odell, because Odell, when he got hurt with the Giants, and that was a major injury, he was already, like, dominant.
Yes.
And, like, he put in three, four good years, you know, before that happened, so like he can still keep his value, and he's a wide receiver. Wide receiver is a little bit different, but a running back.
I mean, like you said, the running back position is already being devalued in the NFL right now.
It's scary. I'm scared. I don't know. I don't know.
It's crazy how quickly it can turn from just 3 years ago. We were like, oh, Saquon Barkley is the future of the league at the position, and now you're like, shit, you know.
Can we make one definitive statement, though, of the NFL after 2 weeks?
What?
that the NFC East is the trashiest, worst goddamn division in football?
I mean, yeah, of course. Okay, 7-9. Just want to confirm that. 7-9. The Giants aren't out of it.
Just want to confirm that.
0-2 is not out of it. The Giants not out. No, 7-9 is winning that division.
Jesus.
If the Falcons,
I mean, 6-10 may make the playoffs. You can sneak in that terrible division.
If the Falcons didn't choke, I mean, there'd be no one with a winning record in our division.
Right, and now the Eagles are.
Oh, nobody still has winning record, but teams with losing record.
That can I make one other before we get to KG? One other definitive statement: that Seahawks Patriots game was fucking awesome last night.
Cam Newton is back. Shout out Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's GOAT. Back. Russell Wilson's on a fucking mission right now to win MVP. That game was hell of a sports night, on just great games leading up to it, minus the injuries. And then you had Lakers go. I forgot the Lakers game was on. I'm glad I turned it on.
Yo, I don't even want to see the ratings.
For what? The Lakers? The Lakers. Just show the ratings for the last 30 seconds and count as a win.
Who That's cares? Fine. I mean, you know the NFL is going to smoke the NBA every single time they go against each other. So what's the big deal? It's only people that want to bash the NBA are going to use that narrative. And it's a false narrative. The NBA is just doing fine.
Exactly. The NBA is fine.
Real quick, Chop, since you texted me, did you in fact predict that Bryson DeChambeau would win the U.S. Open
on
the podcast?
I didn't listen to it back. I got to listen to it back. I feel like we said he's going to win the U.S. Open. So I'm going to take credit without even listening that we did predict it was going to
win.
So I'll take credit for it. But yeah, last night was awesome. Cam's back. I'm worried about my Patriots 6-10 prediction that I had a long time ago on the pod. But yeah, they look great.
Was that prediction though with Jared Stidham?
That was Jared Stidham. I did change it.
There's a caveat attached to that one.
There's a caveat attached to that, and that division stinks. Like,
it's bad. You have the worst team in football anchoring that division.
Yeah, like get your shit together, the Jets. Like,
never gonna happen. It starts when you have clown ownership. It trickles all the way down, and unfortunately, two of the teams I root for have absolute fucking clowns as owners. Clowns. The Jets. In the Knickerbockers. And therefore, when you have a clown running the organization, it leads to nothing but just circus-like nonsense and drama and misery.
Boy, did I grow up on the right side.
You did. You're 100%. You're so much better off being a Nets fan and a Giants fan, 1,000,000%. The Jets and Knicks just give me nothing but shit and misery. And it's going to be the case as long as the Johnson brothers own the Jets. And
You should chill.
Stop calling out names.
We're about to have a third straight episode where we have to use the bleep button.
Yeah,
which would be a record, which is good. Your Yankees, get ready. Yankees are
on. Yankees are bike.
They're collision 10 of 11, course for
10 of 11 as we're taping this right now. They're collision smoking course, the baseball.
Collision course for an upset. I'm calling it right now.
Upset. It's never upset of what? The Yankees. Whoa.
Excuse me. Yeah, they're gonna be one of the World Series favorites, pal.
They're gonna get upset. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, by who?
And who? Yeah. What, the first round against the Twins? Indians? Who they've owned? They've owned for the history the of twins. Organizations. They've owned the Twins in the playoffs.
The Twins, baby.
The Twins literally just have no chance against the Yankees. Absolutely.
You know what that take deserves, Sal? That take deserves a hand wave.
On that note, let's get to our Kevin Garnett interview. A lot of fun. Recorded a few weeks ago, but we talked about a lot of stuff going on. Some very interesting comments about something we didn't talk about this episode. The backlash to the MVP voting coming out. So we had some
LeBron some is the real MVP.
Yeah, we had some conversation with KG about Giannis. So let's get to that interview.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The legend, Kevin Garnett, thank you for joining us. Let's get right to it and talk some NBA bubble. What are your thoughts about what's going down there in Orlando right now?
It's cool, man. It's cool. It's obviously, it's a new look, and all of us have to get used to this new look. But, in the end, it's NBA basketball. You know, the product is there. You know, you don't have anything else on TV close to it. I enjoy watching the competition. I enjoy watching the skill set. I've been watching the WNBA. I've been keeping up with my girls, keeping up with my Lynx, keeping up with Kansas. I've been enjoying both leagues and watching both. Looking forward to football starting up soon. So, It's back to business as usual. It's funny to see how these games have a day in between them, and how the teams are able to make adjustments within 24, 48 hour turnaround time, and how the travel and how the crowd, and just, you know, it's just how this different look, and how it kind of gives you new, it's almost like looking at the league through a new lens, if you will, because I'm sure they have new challenges that they have to be able to endure while in the bubble, thinking that traveling and all these other components don't make up anything. I'm sure they got some new challenges. So it's just good to see the league through a different lens, if you will.
What's Prime KG putting up in the bubble? Because guys are putting up absurd points right now that we might not have expected. So what's Prime KG putting up in the bubble?
Oh no, you're shooting at the same rim. You're playing in the same gym. You know the spots. You know you got a favorite. You know you can. All the players and all the teams that I'm playing should have adjusted to obviously playing in the locker rooms and so be it. A lot of times when you come into a new arena, you got to find the dead spots on the floor. You got to, you know, so much other shit that goes into it. You know, the fact is you get to play in the same arena in the same gym. I expect some of the really premier scores to be able to turn it up a notch. But man, I can't even speak for what would have. Mm-hmm. But you know, shooting at the same rim and having that comfortability, being in the same gym every day, that would have been an advantage in to all shooters and scorers. So who knows, man? Who knows? You know, some nights when body feeling good and I'm prime and I'm that 25 to 32 kg, who knows, right? And it's hot down there too. Ooh, right, that's a whole nother me. I would have loved to see that.
I think we all would have. I think that would have been a sight to behold. But I definitely do think it's interesting because you mentioned that, because like you got guys like Jamal Murray who are literally putting up. I mean, he had kind of an off game last night, but there was a stretch where he was nearing 50 every night, you know?
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something, man. When this is the first time we've been able to see NBA players play in the summertime full health, you know? Jamal can actually score the ball in and out, inside the bubble, outside the bubble, on a playground, in a gym. It doesn't matter. He can score the ball. The energy and the consistency, along with the opportunities to actually go out and do that. People think you can just go out there and turn it on like that. It's really a flow, and it's really on how you're feeling. And I'm telling you, as this continues to go on, I'm expecting some of our top scorers to come out and actually have some huge nights. You're in the same gym. I'm just keep repeating that. Like, you know, the difficult parts of the league is traveling and adjusting to the different courts, different rims, different light in different arenas. No, you're playing in the same gym, so you know the likelihood of the adjustment is out the window. You know if you can lock in and find your favorite spots in here, you can really. It'll be about, you know, you just having, you know, that mindset and going out and you're doing it after that.
So Prime KG definitely would have thrived in the bubble. I think you're being modest and saying you wouldn't have gotten your numbers. It wouldn't have put up big, big stats on a nightly basis, because you would have loved the night in, night out. You were joking around with us before we started hitting record that, you know, the load management name that we came up with, you're an 82 game kind of player. You're busting our balls for only being once a week, but you would have thrived down there. But who has really caught your eye so far? Shops brought up Jamal Murray. There's some other guys who have had some great performances. Has there anyone really caught your eye, or is anyone really disappointed with their performance that you expect a lot more out of?
Nah, that kid. You know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised that so many young guys are sitting out. So many young guys got minute restrictions and shit. Like, I'm like, the motherfucker is 20 and 19. Like, what's going on in here? And to be honest, yo, we could never play in the bubble. You know how much I've been screaming, throwing your shot? Get that shit out of here. Bunch of gold, please. Dumping this motherfucker, growling. You'd have heard me in here, bro.
They would have had the sensors out for you.
Put us in no bubble. Man, they'd have had a bunch of sensors. Couldn't have all these have all these cameras, you know, niggas walking around naked, balls swinging, all type, man. You couldn't have danced a different league. We were men, yo. We out here talking to each other. We trying to figure out the pick and roll. We, you know, we ain't switching, you know. It was just totally different. It'd have been barbaric. We could have never been in a situation like this. It'd have been chaotic. And, I mean, you know, we had people to actually stand up, and we would have bounded for, you know, for something if that's what we was all in. But it'd have been very difficult to put, you know, my timing and the guys that I played with and against into a bubble like this and have us not be like, we was high competitors, you know. Everybody's competing, you know. Everybody's damn near fighting every other play. The pick and rolls is real. The shooting is real. The talking shit. Oh, man, the shit talking alone. Oh, man, it would definitely been some smoke out here. You couldn't have probably done no shit like this with the time and I played.
It's interesting you bring up the minute restriction because everybody's been talking about Giannis, especially before, I mean, the ankle injury happened. But even before that, game three, season on the line, and he's playing under 35 minutes a game. And, you know, some people are looking at him a little weird after his Jimmy Butler comments, saying, why would he guard Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. Man, listen, it's a different league. You know, we have different prerequisites. You know, there's no council. There's really no binding. Like, I mean, who's going to say something to Giannis? Who's going to actually push or question the fact that he's on a minute restriction? We're under a different league now. You know, you got guys who play 1 or 2 years, don't even play summer league. Summer league is for young guys to be better. And to get young guys to play in the summertime, because young kids weren't playing in the summertime. That's all we did in the summer. We played against each other. We was looking for each other. You traveled. That's why Vegas is a hot spot. That's why LA is a hot spot. That's why New York was a hot spot. Atlanta, Houston. You had all these places where guys played. And now you got the summer league, and guys are even playing the summer league. I don't understand. And you know what? I'm gonna be honest with y'all. And you know, I'll probably get some shit for this, but no trainer finna tell me how long I'm playing. Once I'm out here, I'm out here. You know how many times Flip Simons not told me to sub out or Doc Rivers went to sub me out and I stayed in the game? Like, there ain't no conversation. I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? If I can play, I'm playing. Y'all pay me to play, right? So shut the fuck up. Let me hoop. And that was the end of the discussion. It ain't no more talking. Yo, what's the play, man? What you call? Like, that's it. Nah, I ain't coming out. Deal with it. This is what I'm playing. And I ain't never had a problem with owner of the team or the GM or the president saying, hey, take him. I ain't never heard that. I ain't never heard. Kevin McHale has never come down from the Raptors and say, hey, get KG out the game. Fuck out of here. Hell no. No. So, you know, I think superstars and players need to don't stake their claim and stand on what they're talking about, because it is a sense of pride that I can get my team out of this and I can take my team to the promised land. And you know what? Everybody jump on my back and go. Yeah, you know, that's a real thing. And I don't know. I think some players actually fall in with it. But, you know, I don't know. I was a different player, man. I took a lot of pride in me coming out here being able to play hurt or to play that or to do something that, you know, the training staff can't tell how much heart you got. Training staff don't know how really big your balls all really are. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what you can play through. They don't know who you really are. You have to show them that. So, you know.
Why do you think that changed? Why do you think it changed from your generation to now when you see, you know, I think Jimmy Butler is someone who could have played when you played, KG. I think that he has the mindset.
Oh, Jimmy Butler
played
when we played. What are you talking about?
No, obviously, old. Jimmy, I'm talking about Jimmy has the mindset that you're talking about isn't around as much as we're seeing. That's what I meant. Obviously, Jimmy played when you guys played.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm saying Jimmy Butler's a throwback. That's what
I meant,
he's a throwback, bro. He's a throwback. And I don't know if y'all understand, but you go back and just look at Jimmy's history, man. He's gotten better each year. But when you know his DNA, when you know where he comes from, you know his background. You know, I've never had two issues, nothing, anything negative to say about him, other than questioning some of the things he did on the leadership side in Chicago. But Jimmy Butler is one of my favorite to watch. He's always what he talks. He's always what he promotes. He backs that shit up, and he's one of them rare throwbacks that we have. You know what I mean? I look at Kawhi, obviously LeBron, them throwbacks. Them are you can't teach that. That was embedded and taught to those guys through a time, and those guys will never lose that. That's a part of them now. That's part of their makeup. You know.
So, KG, when we're taping this, we're on the verge of potentially seeing the Bucks being eliminated by Jimmy Butler in the Heat. And from what you've seen in that series, are you placing blame on either Mike Budenholzer, on the franchise for not giving Giannis enough help, or are you placing on Giannis with the injuries and just lack of effectiveness and maybe not locking down on Jimmy Butler late in these situations? Like, what do you blame the Bucks, you know, essentially on the verge of their next early exit from the playoffs?
And the playoffs are about adjusting. The Bucks got to make some goddamn coaching adjustments. They got to make some adjustments to the series, man. They're still coming out playing the same way, doing this. You know, I get it. But you have to make one or two adjustments, and those adjustments have to be impactful to the point where it changes the series. Miami, granted, they just stepped up their level. Giannis is the type of player. James Harden is the type of player. LeBron is the type of player. They're the type of players to where it's easy to get up for. If you can't get up to play Giannis, then you don't need to come out here. Because you know what? You're going to have to be up to play Giannis. Giannis's level is going to be on another level. So the fact that the Miami Heat is engaged as a team, they're not giving him nothing. They know where he at all times. They're putting two or three bodies on him. So you know what? You as a team, as the Bucks, have to adjust to that. You got to make the adjustments. Putting Brooke Lopez in there, helping with rebounding, stretching the team, like all of this, you have to make the adjustment. It's not a blame. Hell, we are all in this. Everybody's being to blame. Hell, Giannis is being asked to play hurt. Chris Middleton is asked to go back to the well and redo what he did. All the players, George Hill, all these guys got to step up. Whoever's players got to contribute. We all got to play defense. It ain't just Jimmy Butler. That hero kid is kicking ass if ain't nobody watching. They got shooters all over the place. People are just stepping up. Bam is playing at another level. Like, everybody has to step the levels up, including the coaching, and it all has to come together. It's not no one blame. It's all collectively. And after this, I don't think that you fire him. I think you add pieces to Giannis. I think you first lock Giannis in. That's the first and probably the major priority. But no, this falls on everybody. And then two, this is the process too, y'all. You just don't see. This is what I hate about today's league. Everybody thinks you go 1 or 2 years to rough shit and then you nah, motherfucker, you go through however long you got to go through it. These teams are good too. You know, they got to make the adjustments.
I think part of that, and I know Zion wants to jump in here, but I don't know if that's up to the Bucks if Giannis is going to get locked in, KG. I think the way that social media works these days, I mean, he might literally get bullied into thinking he needs more help and go somewhere else.
He does need more help, but he can get help right there where he's at. You understand? Like, the East is going to be different next year. You got KD, and KD's taking 2 years off. I don't know if y'all remember John Wall, but he's also had 2 years off. Now, the East is going to be different next year. I'm expecting the East to be very different next year. A healthier Ben Simmons. You know, who knows what's going to happen in Philly. Like, a better Boston. You know, Danny Ainge keeps something up his sleeve. You know, what if he's able to land something here? And the East is going to be different. So, you know, I don't see Giannis leaving. I think Giannis is comfortable with being in a small market. He doesn't want those responsibilities of being in the big market. I know social media is going to play a part in that, but he's a very firm, very, very, he's a very stubborn kid to the point where he, you know, I see him having enough time to where he can do another 3 years in Milwaukee and see if it works. I don't know if that's the smartest, but he's bullheaded enough to be able to stand and make a stance and stay with that franchise and go through it and until he sees different. I don't see him leaving.
And KG, I do want to talk about something kind of you touched on earlier in terms of having a player that kind of mirrors the way you play. I've definitely seen a lot of Anthony Davis comparisons to you on my timeline of late. A lot of people combating against it, a lot of people vouching for it. What are your thoughts on the comparison to AD? Obviously, both of you are complete freaks of natures when you played.
I think AD has similar tools to my very own. I think we both have a face up. AD probably shoots the three a little more than me. I didn't really shoot threes, but I had the ability to. And then to the today's offense and the way it flows is a little different. These days you have four on the perimeter and one inside. So the fact that he has to be able to adjust to the times of how the game is being played, you got to have a three ball now. So in my times, we didn't have analytics, we didn't have the value of the three ball. I think he's a better rim protector. I'm probably a better one-on-one defender. But I see when people say that the mirror images are there, I think I play with a little more energy than young fella. But I mean, for his own game and what he's done with it, like he's the number one big. You know, I got him and Embiid being the number one bigs in our league, just from a consistent standpoint. You know, that these are guys that are consistent with play night in, night out, and they dominate. Embiid has a fear factor where I can actually see players have fear in playing him, and he has that, you know, going for him. But overall, skill for skill, I think AD is the best skilled big man in our league from head to toe. And I see the mirror images and why people say that. I think I was a little more of a demon than AD. AD has a better connection.
Way more.
But AD wasn't raised with demon. You know, he was raised with parents and just different elements, bro. I played angry. I played mad. I played with a certain tenacity, and that was my makeup. AD's, he's smooth, he's cool, you know what I'm saying? He's finesse, you know, he's manicured, you know what I'm saying? And ain't nothing wrong with that. That's his style. Just two totally different styles.
KG, you know people love to compare eras, especially in this Big Three era. And everybody likes to bring up how your Celtics Big Three would have fared against, like, the Warriors Big Three or the Warriors Big Four in their heyday. Did you ever think about that?
No, I never played the shoulda, coulda games because, you know, when we played a young Clay, a young Steph, I think I played Draymond like one time. Like, I don't even recall playing, dude. And then two, we was all at the end of our run or whatever you want to call it. And those guys were very impressionable. You know, when you would set a pick on Steph and we would run him through repicks. He didn't want to get picked. And, you know, he was still to the point where he was being impressionable. Like, you know, he was the old head of the league. He was, you know, playing older ways, which means a lot more physical. You know, we was talking. We was, you know, our different schemes. But they played fast and they were never at a point where we were threatened, you know, and it was the West. And I think our energy and our focus is always to start in the East first, with an awareness of whatever. But a lot of the players now and the champions and Golden State went on to bigger and better things. Kudos to them and their franchise. And Steph Curry changed the game by really revolutionized the point guard position. And he and Klay have revolutionized the 1-2 punch. Klay is arguably probably one of the best shooters in our league's history. And those two make up a crazy dynamic that you can't deny. I enjoy watching them play. I enjoy watching them play against Dame and what's my other man up in Portland that I'm going blank on?
CJ.
Damn, I love watching. Yeah, Pete, yeah. What's his name? CJ. Yeah, CJ.
CJ McCollum, yeah.
I love watching the I love watching the 1-2 punches. I love watching the guard play throughout the league, and it's entertaining. But I don't play the shoulda, couldas, or the woulda, wouldas. Just because we didn't actually have a chance to actually go at it like that. But these, you know, when I was playing those guys were kids. These kids now are young men and men that have families, have brands, and are the pillars of the league. So I got to respect that.
You said you don't want to play the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. So let's go back to something you said recently, like a year ago, about you guys breaking the 2010 Celtics, breaking LeBron James. Like you used the word broke. I want to elaborate on that because I don't know. I'm not sure if I can agree with the word broke.
Okay. So I'm going to elaborate. You sound like you're a Bronny fan. And that's
KG, I'm a Cavs fan.
One of us is.
KG, I'm a Cavs fan. That hurt. That hurt back then, KG.
Listen to me. But you got to think of this. Ron was running. Once he got through the Pistons, it was like, oh, shit, he's cracked the code. You know? And then he comes. Once he broke the Piston code, which wasn't an easy code to break, he made it look easy. Broke that code, boom, he took so, okay, it's like Cleveland's the East now, right? Shaq comes over here, right. When we formed in Boston, you could never get past that. So that's why I say, when he took the jersey off in 2010, he buried that jersey under the TD Bank Arena, okay? That 23 Bron jersey was buried under the... under the garden. So when I say we broke that Cavs team and that momentum and took it over, we took the East over. Once we won that, it was over. Boom. Nobody could come back and get this. Boom. Now we're into it with Orlando. We're into it with Cleveland. And it was like a push. Everybody's getting better. Well, like he had to make an adjustment. He goes down to Miami and makes one, you know, arguably one of the best decisions in his career and plays with, you know, arguably two other greats and they have a run. And if that's what I meant when I say we broke the Cavs, we broke LeBron in 2010. That's what I meant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to look at it like, okay, if I'm going to be in Cleveland, I got to be able to have boom, boom, boom. And in Cleveland, he didn't have no boom, boom, boom. Not enough to get past us. And that's what I mean. For all you LeBron lovers who don't know shit, who was actually 4 or even 2 years old when I was talking about this, and this was going on, we're probably, 12, 13 now? And you didn't do anything. I get it. You're defending it. You love LeBron. I got it. You need to save it to this era.
I'm not saying you are.
I'm saying to the LeBron fans. I mean, I'm explaining. You don't think I've gotten shit about this? Are you
to
LeBron?
One of our co-hosts on here, to one individual on this podcast, he's explaining
but,
this to.
But I never disagreed with the take that the Celtics, like, Kate, you guys forced him to have to make that move. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
All right. Listen, the reason why I left the Timberwolves was because Shaq and Cole was dominating the West, and the Spurs was dominating the West. If Glenn Taylor wasn't going to commit to putting teams together like 04, then I had to make an adjustment as a player. I had to make it. If I wanted any shot at trying to get a championship and changing my whole legacy, then I had to make a business decision. And LeBron had to do the same thing. This is just what it was and what it is at the time. You got an opportunity to play with somebody greater than you and can make you better? Oh, man, let's do it. Paul Pierce. Oh, man, let's do it. Ray Allen shit came on a draft night. Like, that was like sweeten the pot. And I didn't even know that we had an emerging young point guard that was soaking up and that could adjust and make all these different. And he was a weird kid. Well, I didn't even know we had Rajon Rondo. I didn't know none of these parts until they all came together. James Posey comes over. Like, all these parts come into it and make it like, ta-da. Like, oh, shit, look what this is. Yeah, you gotta look at that. You know, you got to look at that and be honest with yourself and be like, okay. If I'm going to do anything and I want to reach these goals, I got to make these adjustments. And that's what he did. And that's what that comment meant. You know, we broke the Cavs. He went down to Miami and dismantled and they went on their run like they were supposed to.
That's what I meant by that. KG, you and Paul definitely, you know, Paul Pierce likes to get in that LeBron slander quite frequently these days.
He wants to what?
He wants to get that LeBron slander in quite frequently these days.
It's just fact, though. You know, like, nobody contested. Like, as much as people want to put Kobe and LeBron, they want, man, it was LeBron and Truth. They wanted each other. You know, he the closest nemesis that the man got. Melo, I won't put Melo and Bron as nemesis. They're friends. They actually deal with each other. They actually fuck with each other. They're real friends in life. Paul Pierce and LeBron James, no, that was real battles against each other. And he pushed the kid. He pushed that man to be better. And Bron ended up being better. You know what I'm saying? You know, but yeah, every superhero has a nemesis. And Pete don't mind playing that nemesis.
That's fair.
Push Bron. Think about that, you know?
So Kevin, tell us about your Crown Royal kind of partnership. You know, what drew you to this? And you know, we've seen the commercials during the playoffs. So kind of what made sense for you in this partnership going forward?
Well, Crown and I share the same passion in telling people to hydrate and letting people know that it's okay to take water breaks. We come right in and slam down in the middle of having a passion for that. You know, so much you get promoted to stay lit. You get promoted to be turned, you know what I mean? Stay turned up. But nobody else ever comes to the aid and say, drink responsibly and hydrate yourself, no matter where you are in the world, wherever, you know, sports is back. So we're just promoting healthier and more responsible drinking and getting people to take those water breaks and telling people to stay hydrated while they actually drink Crown.
That's good. Safety first.
Absolutely.
What's the difference in KG trash talk, not on Crown, and then after a few glasses of Crown? Does that change at all?
Depends on what I'm trash talking. I've never actually drank in trash talk. I can't recall actually drinking. But I'm pretty sure it's animated. But yeah, that would be a first. I would actually have the trash talk and drink at the same time. Yeah, that's a bit.
Really? You don't get a little, you know, a little, you don't, it's no extra with the Crown running through you?
Nah. You know, I drink responsibly first off, you know, and, you know, when I drink, it's always on some chill. It ain't really nothing turned. I haven't been super turnt in quite some time. you know, you would think that alcohol would actually amplify and kind of juice you, right? I'm at the stage now where I'm really under control to where, I'm not definitely getting that lit. But I do enjoy drinking the Crown, and Coke is probably my favorite drinks of all of drinks to drink. But you know, courage juice too. You know, you would think alcohol would be a great courage juice. That's when you got to know when to say when. But yeah, I definitely take water breaks and I definitely hydrate.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate you joining us, KG. We know we're out of time. Huge shout out to you. We're huge fans. We appreciate it.
And huge shout out for the performance in Uncut Gems. I know Chops over there. Yes. Huge Uncut
KG,
Gems.
KG, that
fan,
was my favorite movie last year.
As is everyone complex. We were ranting and raving about how awesome the movie was, and you were, and Sandler were. So yeah, kudos on Uncut Gems.
That was my favorite movie last year, KG.
I appreciate that, man. That's what's up. I had a great time doing that, man. Make sure y'all drinking some Crown and make sure y'all take a water break and stay hydrated, please. Please.
We will. We got please. You, KG.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Pleasure, man. Pleasure meeting y'all, man. Go Complex, man. I'm a huge fan.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, KG.
Appreciate it. Huge shout out to Kevin Garnett. Easily one of my favorite guests we've had on this podcast. As you could hear, just unfiltered thoughts on basically about everything. His LeBron comments, you know, hurt. I'm not saying he was saying falsehoods, but, you know, it does hurt to not hear someone be on as much on Team LeBron as me and Zion at least are.
Of course, Adam, he's not on team. Yeah, Adam loved the LeBron slander, but like, you just can't. What do you want to say?
LeBron slander, but like, I like, LeBron is great. And as I said earlier in the podcast, he's an awesome role model. And you, if you want to make the case he's the GOAT, he ain't the GOAT in my opinion. But if you want to make the case, it's a worthy debate. But as I said before, and as I think a lot of other people are, I'm a little LeBroned out right now. And it sucks that he's probably going to win a fucking other title. And
it
you guys are going to go after
sucks. Like, this, it just,
it sucks.
You can't.
Yes, it sucks. Because you two are going to be, again, insufferable to levels that I can't even fathom right
I'm
now.
I'm not a Lakers weeks. Fan. What do I care?
Yeah, I'm not
you're,
a Lakers
you're
fan
LeBron
either.
Stan of the goddamn
I'm not a LeBron
company,
stan.
You, who, pal. Yes, you, Chops. You.
Yeah.
How
number one
LeBron
stan in the company.
Did he win the greatest title in NBA history? Yes, and I'm a fan of that team. I can't
Christ.
Celebrate it. The Cavs, we did our Twitter rankings, all their biggest tweets are about LeBron. I can't celebrate it if the team is.
Let me talk to the LeBron haters listening, and Adam, of course.
I'm not a LeBron hater, but
please,
he's included in that.
Yeah, yes. You are included. Yeah. Please appreciate LeBron while he's here. Appreciate
Agreed.
What he's doing, because I don't want to see all of y'all when he retires. I don't want to see... Oh, I'm so sad. LeBron is gone for the game. I appreciate what you. Nah, appreciate him right now. This man is the greatest man to the greatest player to touch a basketball. All right.
You're wrong.
There we go.
That was nice. That was emotional and almost tear jerking. But you're wrong, pal.
Right.
Yeah.
Haters gonna hate.
Adam smoking that gas like Ronnie Jr. So.
Oh, we didn't have to go there. Oh my goodness!
Leave the family.
Hey,
the
bleep that! Hey. Bleep that, Jasmine! Bleep.
Leave the minor out of this, okay? Let the minor do.
Whoa! Let this man. Let him do what he wants. Quick thing on LeBronny thing. Obviously, he does what he does. He's a kid. Let him live. But LeBron James, his post game where he said he was he was mad about the MVP votes. That was all fake. That was all to throw a smokescreen at what was going on with Bronny. I saw it from the start. He doesn't.
Oh, so you're an amateur psychologist now.
Two things. You love conspiracy theories, and second, it didn't work taking attention away. He failed.
A little bit. The night LeBron said it, it was viral, but like he was definitely trying to take attention away from Bronny. He doesn't care about
the MVP. What's
your
favorite sports conspiracy theory there, young Zion?
This is my favorite one right now.
Okay.
He has a
and
new
who started,
one
and who started
day.
COVID, pal?
Hmm? All right. On that.
Listen,
Adam
thinks COVID is fueled by the Democratic Party.
All right. I legitimately do not think
you
we can
pull
include.
That one out of your ass. Jesus Christ, pal.
I legitimately do not think we can include like the last like 3 minutes of this podcast.
Bleep. Just bleep it all.
On that note, I think we need to literally.
Yeah, it's fun when it goes off the rails sometimes.
That's.
We thank you all for joining us. Chops is
take us home, Zion.
Tune in to our podcast, you know, on Thursday for sure. You know, you know, I don't know how this ending usually goes. So Chops, come on, come back on the mic.
Tune into the Thursday pod. We'll see you guys next week. Special thanks to our producer, Josh Dodd, our associate producer and sound engineer, Jasmine Plata, our production manager, Chancel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, who gets us all our great guests, our director of talent relations, Kristen Price Harrell, who also gets us great guests, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart. Shout out to the main man in charge, our GM, Don Quach. This is a production of Complex Network.